house. This is going to be a mystery message tonight. I have no idea where we're going and where we're going to wind up. I know where we're starting. That's all I know. Amen. Praise God. So we'll see what happens from this point. Amen. But I am excited about what God's doing. My, my, my. We've had a... I'll tell you, the month of April just was a great month. And March is start, or May starting out with a bang. We went to the Lone Star Baptist Church last night, and we just had church.
We had church, yeah.
Whenever I greeted the folks, I told them, I hope we didn't feel too much at home. Hallelujah. We just made ourselves at home, didn't we?
We did.
And we worshiped like Pentecostals, and they worshiped like Pentecostals. Amen. The Holy Ghost fell on CJ, and they just started trying to pray him through right there, and everybody's going, what's this? Amen. A few of them couldn't control it and started talking in tongues, and they really perked up. What in the world's going on here? Amen. Lady said she had a tragic death of her son, and just birthed in, kind of having a hard time. A couple of ladies went over and laid hands on her and started praying for her. I mean, we just made ourselves at home. Amen. We had church. But you know what they said? They said, now when do we get to come to your house? When do we get to come to your church? Amen. Pastor said, we're waiting for an invitation now to come to your place. They're going to get it. Now I said that, now let me say something that might not be as popular with everybody, but you hear me and hear me well. When they come, amen, if they sing up here, don't you get offended. Amen. Don't worry about it. We're not going to lose our standard just because somebody comes and sings a song on the platform. We're not going to lose the Holy Ghost just because somebody gets up here that don't have it yet. They might get it while they're standing here. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm excited about what God's doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. The book of 1 Kings is where we're going to start. I have no idea where we're going to wind up. 1 Kings chapter 19. The Lord gave me a little start here, and we'll see if he provides a finish. If not, I'm finished. Amen. But I promise you tonight, I'll take a lesson from the oil man. He said, if you don't strike oil in 30 minutes, quit drilling. Now quit boring, I should say. Quit boring. I don't want to be boring tonight. Amen. So we'll quit boring if we don't strike something here pretty quick. So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Everybody say the mantle. That's what I want to preach about tonight. I want to preach about the mantle. You may be seated. A mantle is simply a cloak. It was an outer garment that in Bible times, it was a simple piece of cloth that they wore, somewhat like we would wear a coat or a jacket. It was a long, flowing, large piece of material that they wore over their garments. It sometimes would be their blanket that they would use at night when they would cover themselves. So a mantle, there's really nothing all that special about it. It's really just a common thing. But God can take common things and make them extraordinary things. As a matter of fact, the Lord said this to Peter one time. He said, what I have cleansed, let no man call common or unclean. Hallelujah. I want you to know tonight, if you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are not just common and you are not just unclean, because you have been purified with the blood of God, and he washed away your sins tonight. Hallelujah. And it's not a common thing when God does that for somebody. Elijah's called by some scholars the prince of the prophets. We're introduced chapter 17. We don't know much about him. He just simply strolls into the palace. He looks at King Ahab and he says, Ahab, he said, it's not going to rain till I say so. Turns around and walks out. Ahab thought, who's that coot? You know what happened? When it didn't start raining a few weeks later, and a few months later, and a year later, and 2 years later, and 3 years later, he was looking for that coot. High and low, he turned the world upside down trying to find that wild man, and he couldn't find him. Amen. I'm not going to talk too much about his miracles on the in-between, but the Bible says after about 3.5 years, the Lord said, I want you to go back and tell Ahab it's going to rain. This time when he strolled in, he got some attention. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And he challenged 850 prophets. He said, we're going to find out who God is. I tell you, you can discover him tonight. You can know him personally tonight. You don't have to take a preacher's word for it. You don't have to take anybody else's word for it. You can know him yourself. You can experience him. And Elijah said, we're going to find out who God is. Amen. So he got them all assembled at a place called Mount Carmel, 850 prophets. He said, now the God that answers by fire, and I think they got started worrying about that time. Amen. You see, gods that are made with hands have no hands to help you. Gods that you make with your hands have no eyes and no ears and no heart, and they're really no help. And so they constructed their gods, and he said, okay. He said, you guys go first. And the Bible said, boy, they started 800. Can you imagine the racket? Let me say, God's not always in the noise. Noise is all right, but it doesn't necessarily mean God's there. Sometimes it's in a still, small voice. Sometimes it's in the silence. Amen. He may show up anywhere, anytime. It's his prerogative. But boy, they made some noise. 850 prophets calling and screaming and crying and jumping up and down and doing every kind of trick in the book that they knew and everything they'd ever heard of. Amen. Begin to cut themselves for the enjoyment of the crowd. Maybe that'll help. Shed a little blood along with the sweat, along with the tears. Nothing was happening. And Elijah was having the time of his life. Amen. He's a little bit of a smart aleck, I think. He's standing over there and said, maybe your God's going on vacation. Or maybe he's hard of hearing. Cry a little louder. Amen. Let me tell you something. He was fed up. He was angry because the people of God had turned their back on God to follow some dumb idols. And he just wanted to make sure that they understood what they'd gotten themselves into. Amen. When it was all, you talk about confidence. When it was all over, the Bible, and I love the way it said this, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. If you've got a broken altar, repair it. If there's something between you and God, remove it. If there's an obstacle in your path, get rid of it. Repair your altar. And he repaired the altar of the Lord with 12 stones. And the Bible said he put out the sacrifice, put the bull on the altar. And then he started, let's put some water on this thing. They're in the drought, remember? He said, but let's pour some water on here. They poured four barrels of water. He said, let's do it again. And he said, let's do it again. I mean, you talk about a sopping sacrifice. It was wet through and through. And the ditch around was all filled up with water. He said a 63-word prayer. And fire fell down from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, licked up all the water. And the people started saying, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Hallelujah. And the hearts of Israel was turned back to their God. Amen. Now this next part gets a little serious. He didn't stop there. The Bible said he took those prophets down and he slew every one of them. That's a little gory. That's a little hard. That's a little harsh. Amen. Why in the world would God tell them to go kill somebody? Because what they were doing to others. When you start messing around with somebody's salvation, look out. You may get your name on God's hit list. Amen. God knows the hearts of people. That's the difference in us and God. God knows the hearts of people. He knew that those people were so far removed, there was no repentance for them. Amen. And only God knows that. I don't know that. You don't know that. There are some people that have gone a long ways away from God. There are some people that are very hard against God. But God sees their heart. God knows their heart. God sees what's on the inside that you can't see. Amen. He hears some prayers that you don't hear. He knows some things that you don't know. So don't you be judging because you don't know the facts. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, you talk about a wonderful day. Whenever we get in the Holy Ghost, friend, we can do anything. And when we come down, woo, sometimes we come down. You know what I'm talking about? You know, on Monday, your feet hit the ground again. Sometimes on Sunday, woo, we get so high in the Holy Ghost, we're having ourselves a time. But Monday morning, we crawl out of bed, and it looks like the same old world. Amen. Same old job. Same old thing. Back down to earth again. Things start happening. Amen. Praise God. And so that was what happened to Elijah. After a spiritual high, whenever he was real excited about it. Man, he's an anointing. But whenever Jezebel heard that all of her prophets were dead. Now let me tell you, some people they're not very patient with people of God. They don't love the Lord. Jezebel said, you go tell that prophet that I'm going to do the same thing to him that he did to my prophets. Amen. And it got a hold. Somehow that shook him. He was not afraid of 850 prophets, but is afraid of one woman. I'm telling you, when the anointing, you can get bold. You can do things. But in the flesh, you can get scared by almost anything. Amen. Isn't that right? You know, some of the things we can pray for, we're so bold, we're so courageous, God's doing such great things, and then it just takes such a little thing to bring us down sometimes. Something as much as a cross word. Something as much as somebody not shaking her hand. Let me quit meddling. Now, we're doing good till we got on that. Yeah, I'm always meddling. I'm sorry. I get to meddling and it gets quiet. Praise God. And so the Bible said he started running for his life. He ran and he ran and finally he got out in the middle of the desert and he's under this juniper tree and he said, oh God, he said, just let me die. You ever felt like that? Oh God, just kill me right here. Let me die. I'm so discouraged. Same prophet. Amen. Asking, just let me lay here and die. Let me tell you what God did instead of killing him. He let him sleep. Everybody say rest. Very important. Little thing called rest works wonders in your life. He let him sleep. Sent an angel to woke him up. Had some water and some bread. And he said, you eat that. And he went back to sleep and slept again. It's amazing what you can do when you're rested. You know, one of the great tactics of Satan in the last days, he said, I'm going to wear the saints out. Anybody been weary lately? Huh? Feel like you can't get rested? Tired all the time? Geritol won't help that. The only thing that's going to help that is rest in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The only thing that's going to help that's praying through. The only thing that's going to help that's touching the throne and letting the hand of God touch you. Amen. But when he touches you, you'll do like Elijah did. The Bible said he got up, get this, he went 40 days on the strength of two meals and a little rest. Amen. God found himself crawled into a cave at Mount Horeb. Got up there and fell asleep again. There he is resting. And the Lord began to speak. Amen. If you get in the right place, God can talk to you. And there he was. The Lord began to speak. The Bible said outside his cave, he said there was an earthquake. Boom. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. God can use earthquakes. He did, didn't he? Got Paul and Silas out of jail with one. But God, but that time he wasn't in the earthquake. Don't try to figure God out or box him in. Don't try to say, no, I know what God did for so-and-so, and he'll do it for me. He will do something for you, but it may be totally different than what he did for somebody else. But whatever it is, it'll be right, it'll be miraculous, it'll be good, and it will always be exactly what you need. And so he wasn't in the earthquake. Amen. Then there was a great wind that rent the rocks. He wasn't in the wind. Amen. But I read one time about a wind that blew into an upper room. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it converted lives. Hallelujah. It took old weak men and made mighty apostles and men of God out of them. The foundation that the church could be built on. Amen. And so, but he wasn't in the wind that time. He wasn't in the fire. He's been in the fire. But he wasn't in the fire that time. And then he said there was a still small voice. The Bible says that Elijah wrapped his face in a mantle. Amen. You know, when you get really in the presence of the Lord, you get to a place where you get very humble. There is no arrogance in God's presence. There is no arrogance in God's presence. Now, sometimes don't mistake boldness for arrogance. There is a difference. When you get anointed and you get in the Holy Ghost, you can get real bold, but not arrogant. Amen. You get authoritative, but not arrogant. Amen. And so he's there, and the Bible said he covered his face with his mantle because the glory of God was all around. The Bible said no man has ever seen the face of God any time and lived. So he covered himself up. Amen. Praise God. And he heard the voice of God. And he went back from that place. God told him three things that were going to happen. He said, you're going to go back and you're going to touch the lives of three men. He said, you're going to anoint a heathen king by the name Hazael, and you're going to make him king over Syria. He said, you're going to anoint a man by the name of Jehu, who's an opportunist, and he's going to be the king over Israel. And then he said, you're going to anoint another young man by the name of Elisha, and he's going to be your successor. Amen. And so he comes down off of that mountain experience. And the Bible said he went down to the place where there was a young man. Brother James, come here and help me out here. Amen. You're plowing. You got 12 oxen ahead of you here. Amen. You're out there plowing with the oxen. Amen. I don't know how tough this is. Looks hard, don't it? And Elijah just comes along. Yeah, that's not in the Holy Ghost there. That's in the flesh. Amen. So he comes along and he just puts his mantle on him like that. And it just keeps on walking down the road. And all of a sudden, Elisha comes running after him. Run after him. Amen. Praise God. You got to run after him. He's getting away. Amen. So Elijah runs up. Now you got to run. Forget the oxen. Amen. You're following. You're coming. You're coming for the anointing here. Amen. Praise God. Just like you did at men's meeting. That's how you do it. And Elijah turns around and he says, "What have I done? What did he do?" I'm telling you, I don't know, thank you, sir. I don't know exactly what happened, but I just, if you can allow me to use a little imagination and the experience that I've had in my life. I believe whenever the mantle of that old, this the common mantle, just a piece of material. But when that went across his shoulders, it was more than a piece of material. There was an anointing of the Holy Ghost that came upon him. Hallelujah. There was something that said, there's more to life than farming. There's more to life than plowing with oxen. There's more to life than making money. There's more to life than doing what I'm doing. Hallelujah. And whenever he got that mantle on his shoulders, something went through that young man. He felt the anointing and the touch of God. And he said, goodbye, oxen. I'm going to follow that man. I don't know where he's going. I don't know what he's going to do. But I'm going to follow him. I want more of what I got. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but when I got in the presence of the Lord, I said, I want more of this. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't ever want to let this go. I don't understand all about it, but I like it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, he went back, got a couple of those oxen and killed them. He took his plow and made a fire, and he sacrificed them right on the spot. In other words, he burned his bridges behind him. If you're going to really follow Jesus Christ, it's got to be a wholehearted commitment. It can't be, well, if this don't work out, if you've got some reservations, it won't work out. Amen. If you have reserve in your heart, you will have reason to go back. But if you wholeheartedly make up your mind, hey, there's no turning back. And that's not an option for me. I've made up my mind. Hallelujah. I'm going through. Hallelujah. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I've choose the way with the Lord's chosen few. I started out for Jesus, and I'm going through. That's how you make it, friend. You burn your bridges behind you. Quitting's not an option. No matter how difficult the situation gets, I'm going to press on. I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said that he followed Elijah. I don't know exactly for what period of time he walked with him. But somehow, and I don't know exactly how he knew it. I suppose it was a nudging from the Holy Ghost. They were walking along one day in Gilgal, and Elijah turns to Elisha, and he said, I'm going down to Bethel. You stay here. And he said, oh, no, I'm not staying. I followed you this far. Hallelujah. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, don't leave me behind. You're going to Bethel, I'm going to Bethel. Hallelujah. So they went to Bethel. And when he got to Bethel, he tried to shake him again. He said, now, son, he said, you stay here in Bethel. He said, now, I've got to go to Jericho. And he said, no, master. He said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, he said, I'm not going to forsake you now. If you're going, I'm going. And they went down to Jericho. And they got down to Jericho, and he said, now stay here, son. He said, I'm going to Jordan. He said, well, if you're going to Jordan, I'm going to Jordan too. Wherever you go, I'm going. Don't leave me behind. Whenever they got down to Jordan, amen. Elijah took off that old mantle, and he walked over to that old muddy Jordan River, and it is muddy. And he took that garment, and he just folded it up a little bit, and he smacked the water with it. And the Bible said one side of it rolled up on the right side, the other side rolled up on the left side, and they walked across that to the other side of the Jordan. Didn't even have to get their feet wet. Amen. And whenever they got over there, Elijah said, now I'm going to go home today. You know what? I think it's a great thing when you know you get to go home. The old song said, don't weep for me when I'm gone. I won't have to leave here alone. When I hear that great trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground. Don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. So don't. For a Christian friend, it's not a sad thing. It's a great promotion. And so he said, I'm going home today. And Elijah said, I know that, master. He said, what can I do for you before I go? He didn't even hesitate. He said, I want a double portion of what you got. He didn't say, I just want what you have. He said, I want twice as much as you got. When it comes to the things of God, don't get too modest. Amen. When it comes to asking of God great things, amen. The Bible's one of the in the Psalm, I believe it was David prayed, and he said, God, he said, give me the heathen for my inheritance. Amen. Let me tell you how to pray for revival. When you pray for revival, don't just pray for one or two. God, give us the city. God, give us the state. God, give us the nation. God, give us the world. When you pray for revival, pray for revival. Amen. You know, when I pray for revival, I pray for preachers in the city. I don't pray that they'll all come to United Pentecostal Church. I pray that the Holy Ghost will go to them and they'll get the Holy Ghost in their church and they'll be baptized in Jesus' name in their church and they'll get the revelation of separation in their church and holiness can come to their church and that Holy Ghost revival will come to their church. We can't put all the people in one place. No one man can pastor that many folks. Let's pray that God will save everybody, ever sit, ever church in Athens. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a bold prayer. God likes bold prayers. Whenever he said, I want twice as much as what you got. The Lord said, I like that. I like that. Amen. He saw a good thing. He latched on to it. Amen. Elijah said, now when I go, if you're still with me, amen, if you're still with me, you can have it. Amen. Boy, you're talking about sticking with him. He was every footstep. He was right there. Amen. And all of a sudden, the Bible said there was a whirlwind. I don't know if you have many whirlwinds here besides tornadoes. Amen. But in West Texas, we used to have whirlwinds. And we'd see them, we call them dust devils. And they'd get this hot wind, gets a swirling around, and you can see them coming, that dust coming, and tumbleweeds mixed in with it, and all kinds of stuff. And when we were kids and real stupid, we'd jump in the middle of the little ones, and they'd pick you up and kind of throw you into electric fences and stuff. That was a shocking revelation. And we had a good time. Amen. But now this was a whirlwind. I'm talking about a whirlwind this time. Amen. I got a feeling. It blew. You're talking about being blown away. Elisha was blown away. And he looked up through the sand and the storm and the wind, and he saw Elisha going up. And there was a chariot of fire, and there were horses pulling it. Praise God. Amen. That was the last time he saw him. And he began to cry out. He said, my father, the chariot and the horsemen of Israel. And he was gone. He was so heartbroken. Took his hands and ripped his clothes. And then all of a sudden he looked around and there it was. He saw the man. Praise God. And he walked over there and he picked it up. Amen. Boy, I remember this. I remember the first time when he put this over my shoulders. My, what a feeling. And he took that and he folded it like you saw Elijah fold it. Amen. He folded it all up. And then he walked back over to that river and he said, let's see if it works. Amen. I don't know much about this. This is my first time out. Amen. He said, but he folded it like this, and then he kind of swung it like this. Amen. And then in a loud voice, he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he hit the waters, and he found out where God was. Hallelujah. And that the river split back again, and he walked across on the other side. Hey, friend, there's an anointing tonight that God wants to give to people. It's the Bible said it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. You don't have to beg him. He wants to give you great things. He wants to bless your life. He wants to enrich you. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Split inside. But let me tell you something, friend. When you get a mantle, it's not all glory. And it's not all power. There are some testings that come with the mantle. There are some troubles that come with the mantle. There's a price to pay to carry a mantle. Amen. There's some sacrifice involved. There's separation that's involved. If you're going to wear the mantle, you can't be like everybody else. Hello? It calls for some separation in your life. Amen. There's some things that you can't do. There's some places you can't go. There's some things that you can't say. Amen. Because I don't want to lose my mantle. I don't want to lose my anointing. I don't want to lose my walk with God. Amen. I love this more than anything else. And whatever it takes, I'm going to hold on to it. Let the testings come. Let the trials come. Let the problems come. I've got something more precious than anything I've ever had in my life. And I'm not going to let it go. God wore a mantle one time. Amen. The Bible said, for God was manifest in the flesh. And the heavenly put on a mantle of humanity. And God, who is spirit, took upon himself a form of flesh. You talk about coming down. The Bible said, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. And God descended all the way from heaven to a manger and a little place called Bethlehem. Into the body of a baby. He went through the struggles of life, infancy, childhood, adolescence, finally an adult. Did good works, loved people, healed people, helped people, but hated of people because of his well-doing, because of the good that he did. They despised him. They hated him. They railed on him. They did everything they could to destroy him. Sometimes this mantle, folks, not everybody appreciates it. There's going to be some Jezebels in your life. There's going to be some false prophets in your life. You're going to have some folks come against you. You're going to have some problems and difficulties if you wear this mantle. And the thing is, you're going to be hated for doing good. Your motives are going to be misunderstood when you wear this mantle. He wore it all the way to a place called Calvary, and that's where he hung it up. Amen. It was a tough time, friend. They beat him with a cat of nine tails within an inch of his life. Amen. He carried a cross up a hill called Calvary. They nailed him to a cross, put nails in his hands and nails in his feet, a crown of thorns on his head, lifted him up toward the heavens. Amen. There he hung on a cross, and in the heat of the day, he hung there in his shame, and he hung there for all the world to see. Amen. The Bible said he could have called 10,000 angels. But he didn't do it. Amen. He said, I thirst. And they dipped a sponge in some bitter vinegar and lifted it up to his parched lips. And he hung there. And after a while, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he hung there. The sun couldn't stand it, reached over, drew a curtain across its face. The moon was embarrassed and turned red as blood. The earth began to quake and shake because the blood of the Savior dripped down on the earth that he had created. Heaven thundered its rebellion against what they saw going on the earth, how mankind was treating its creator. Seemed all of nature was in rebellion at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then at the end, he lifted up his voice. You talk about triumph. I know he was weak by this time, but he reached way down inside. And he said this. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. amen. And he hung his head. Amen. That wasn't the end. That was the beginning. Hallelujah. The next thing you know, he was walking through the regions of hell. Amen. Praise God. He walked right up and he said, I want the keys to death and to hell and to the grave. Hallelujah. 3 days later, he came out of the tomb. Hallelujah. He is alive and he's alive forevermore. There's a man with testing. Amen. But that's not the only man. Let me tell you about another man. You see, God came from heaven to earth. Amen. My, what a dissension. What a downgrade. But you know why he did that? So that he could take us from earth to heaven. Hallelujah. You and I don't know how it happened to you. Amen. But I remember I was 15 years old. And I was tough. My whole world was muscles. And I thought muscles would get you anywhere if you just get tough enough. Amen. If you just be tougher than anybody else. Amen. That's what life was all about. I grew up with 5 older brothers. And they'd get me, I'd get down and start doing push-ups, and I'd do push-ups till my limbs felt like jelly. And they'd, come on, sis, is that all you can do? Amen. I'd find enough to do a few more. Amen. And so muscles, that's what life was about, being tough. Amen. But one night I was tough. But I had a little mama. Oh, yeah. If you knew her. Amen. She'd always sit about right over here. About right back there. Amen. Where my wife's sitting right now. About right there. And, of course, I'd sit back there. Way back as far as I could get. You know, and I'd sit there looking cool and disinterested. Because, you see, I was... The only drugs I was ever on, was they was always dragging me to church. I got drugged to church. It wasn't whether I wanted to go. It's if we're having church, you go. If you live in this house, you go to church. If it's Sunday morning, you go to church. Sunday night, you go to church. Wednesday night, you go to church. Every night of revival, you go to church. It wasn't a question. We never asked, Mom, we going to church tonight? You're going to church tonight. It was a foolish question. It was just the way it was. I knew that. Had known it all my life. Somebody said, I was like that. I was in church 9 months before I was even born. That's all I knew. But see, you can be in the church without having the church in you. You can sit on a pew and be a long ways from church. And that's where I was. Amen. My mom used to embarrass the daylights out of me. Service would get going, and she'd start getting blessed. And she had this war whoop that she had let out. She'd close her eyes. Amen. And she'd go, woo! 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 Boy, it cut to the bone. I mean, it'd go through you like a knife. I'd go home and didn't get any better there. I'd be laying in my bedroom and I'd hear in there crying, oh God, save my boys, Lord! If you don't save them, go ahead and take me. I don't care. Just save them. Whatever it takes, God, save them. There's not a pillow made that'll shut that out. It went, I mean, it goes through a pillow right to your heart. Every now and then she'd pray till she'd get so weak and so sick, we'd have to call the pastor to come pray for her. And we'd say, oh, God, don't let Mama die. God, don't let Mama die. We were praying. And God had let her live a little longer. Amen. I hated altar services. Because every time there was an altar service, Mom would sit there and she'd look back there. Right before she went up to pray, she'd look back and see what I was doing. I remember the night the man came. It's been over 40 years ago, but I'll never forget it. I was sitting there like normal, being tough as always. And the Holy Ghost came upon me. I didn't want to go. I stood there and gripped that bench. My knuckles turned white. Tears started flowing down my cheeks. I was so embarrassed. I was too tough to cry. I started weeping. I started shaking. I got up and I went outside. Didn't get any better. I went back and washed my face in the restroom. Didn't get any better. Came sit back down. Same place. Fighting with everything that was in me. And God sent a big old man about 6'7". He came back there and put his big old heavy arm around my shoulders. God told him what to say. Brother Butcher spoke to me. And he said, Johnny, he said, it takes a man to live for God. All my life, what I hated was to be a sissy. But all he said was, it takes a man to live for God. That was like saying, it's all right, boy. Hey, man. And you know what? I found that to be true. Yes, sir. Amen. Anybody can give in to sin. Anybody can live for the world. Anybody can drink themselves stupid. Anybody can cheat on their wife. Anybody can just go along to get along. It takes a man's got some backbone to stand up. Amen. And be separate and be different. Amen. To walk away from situations. It takes a man to do that. I learned a lesson. I came down that night, repented of my sins. Hallelujah. My, the mantle came upon my shoulders. I'll never forget it. And I'll never forget it. Amen. And once I got that, I never wanted to go back. Amen. Praise God. It's been 42 years ago. And I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. Praise God. Brother Grissom, you ever made mistakes? Oh, by the hundreds. But I don't want to go back. Did you ever fail God? Hundreds of times. But I don't ever want to go back. Amen. Let me tell you the difference in a winner and a loser. A loser falls down and stays down. A loser, our winner falls down and gets up and says, I'm going on. Amen. Nothing's going to stop me here. Amen. I'm going to pick up that mantle and we're going to go on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what it takes. There's a mantle to. There's a mantle. His name was Joseph von Westren. He was a Belgian priest. He took the name Father Damien. In 1863, he went from Belgium to Hawaii. He was a missionary there. In that period of time, there was an epidemic of leprosy that struck the islands. They feared for their lives. People were fearful of leprosy. So they would take the lepers, and they would take them close by the shore of an island called Molokai, and they would throw them over the shore. And if they could, they'd swim ashore to the island, and they were left to fend for themselves. In 1873, Father Damien said, I'll go minister to them. And he went to the people that nobody wanted to be with. And the world had marked off. He went to that island, taught him, he began to help them dig wells and plant crops and begin to take care of themselves. Taught them all the things, taught them hygiene, everything he could do. He got them to sing. Some of them hadn't sang for years. And I don't know that it was a beautiful choir, because sometimes leprosy strikes the vocal cords and the voice becomes coarse and gross. But he formed a choir. I think it was probably a beautiful choir. I think the angels probably listened. God looked on with amazement. He gave his life to the lepers. It began his service and by saying, brethren, my brothers in Christ. But in 1885, he started a little different way. He said, my fellow lepers, because he himself had contracted leprosy. He continued to minister and give his life for those people. 1889, as he was drawing near to death, a young man came to him and bowed down before him, and tears in his eyes. He said, "Father Damien," he said, "please pass to me your mantle, as Elijah did to Elisha." He smiled a little smile and he said, "Son, why would you want my mantle? It's full of leprosy." It's full of leprosy. Amen. What it really was, it's full of sacrifice. It's full of dedication. When he contracted leprosy, he wasn't discouraged. He just said, "Well, this may shorten my days, but the ministry's still the same. The need's still here. My mission hasn't changed." And he just kept on doing what he'd always done. That's the mark of a winner. When you run into difficulties and obstacles in your life, it doesn't turn you away or turn you around. You say, "Well, this changes things a little bit, but my mission's still the same. Amen. I'm just going to do the best I can as long as I can. And I'm going to leave the rest up to God." And you just press on. Amen. That's what the mantle's about tonight. Let's stand together. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. There is a mantle. Every mantle, if it's worth anything, is going to have some testing in it. But there's power in it. I said there's power in it. Amen. There's power in that mantle. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember when it came up on my shoulders. And I never want it to depart. Whatever it takes, I've got to hold on to that. That is my life. I said, that is my life. I wouldn't know how to live without it. I wouldn't know what to do without it. Amen. I tried one time. For a whole day. Devil lied to me. He'll lie to you. Hadn't had the Holy Ghost but just a short time. I messed up. I did something I shouldn't have done. The devil said, "See, you messed up. You might as well quit now. God doesn't love you anymore. You might as well throw in the towel." I didn't know what to do. Hey, man, all I know is I got up that morning, tough as I was. I cried on the bus all the way to school. Amen. And somewhere during the day, I decided, you know what? I'm just going to go back. And I tried to do some of the things I used to do. That was miserable. Got on that same bus. I cried all the way home. When I got home, nobody was there. I went out in the middle of a cotton patch. And I kneeled down in that dirt, cotton plants. And I asked God to forgive me and help me. I didn't know what was going on. And once again, the mantle came. God said, "I love you. Get up, boy. It's not over. It's just beginning." I got up out of that sand. I lifted my hands to heaven. And I began to worship the Lord with all that's in me. And I learned a lesson. Just because I fail doesn't mean I'm a failure. And God doesn't give up on me. I've come a long way from that cotton patch. Amen. But I'll never forget that lesson. Amen. Somebody needs to come get the mantle tonight. If you've been wearing the mantle of sin, it's time to cast it off. And let the Lord wrap you in the beauty of the Holy Ghost in this service tonight. Let Him place His mantle on your shoulders and your life. will never be the same. Amen. How about it? Somebody, let's come. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to take a long time tonight.